To begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. We got the one and only Jag Arriola in studio, coming out of, all the way out of San Bernardino today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Hey, first and foremost, thank you for making the drive. I know that's not an easy drive coming out to LA on the middle of the week, so thank you. Thank you.
All good, all good. Usually the traffic is going the opposite direction, so it was very smooth.
With that being said, man, off air, we were kind of talking about like where I first met you, where I came across your work, and it was at Lighter Fluid earlier this year. And, you know, I walked in there with just the impression of like, damn, activism. Like, I want to know more about the essence of it, like the act of it. And I went in there, right, just not knowing what to expect. And I walk in there and I see you, and I see you wearing a mask. Like, this is the first time I ever saw you, and I was like, what the heck? Okay. But then you started going deep into like the whole stuff about like, if I mispronounce it, sorry guys, but the Tongva lens.
Yes. Yep.
And then just like decolonization and all this stuff. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is some information that I've been kind of like seeking. And I just happened to stumble across it randomly that day. Again, that was the first impression I had of you. So tell me a little bit about that.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you for, again, bringing me on. And shout out to Mezcal and, you know, Audio P and I Above and the rest of his camp from, you know, the Lighter Fluid team for having me there. But so I'm just, you know, I'm an MC. I make music. I do hip hop. I'm from the Inland Empire, from the city of Fontana. That's the, you know, where I kind of came out from. And I make music and poetry and hip hop and to inspire and challenge authority, to challenge injustice, to challenge inequality, to, you know, just inspire people to use their voice in an artistic manner. You know, if somebody wants to become a writer, write books, write a book about challenging injustice. If you're a painter, paint a picture about indigenous resistance in Colombia and Guatemala and El Salvador and Paraguay and Palestina, right? Anywhere in the world where there is injustice, challenge it, educate yourself. So these are some of the ideas I like to share in person whenever I perform. And it's in the music, it's in the, you know, I also present at universities, you know, about just you know, just my ideas. I don't want to say about, there's probably better candidates to have here on here to present about activism. However, if other peers refer to me as an activist, then, you know, I'll take it. However, I don't usually call myself that, but it has been a label that is just, you know, some of the community and comrades and other people have thrown upon me, and I'm fine with that. I just don't call myself that, but, you know, I am here to share information. Mm-hmm. And not hold on to it, because to hold on to it would be colonial, right? The colonizers, those who occupy our lands, they've always wanted to keep the information to themselves. When we get something, when we gain something, we want to share it. We want to redistribute it, which goes into some of my ideologies and political beliefs about communism and socialism and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for that, what inspired like all that stuff? I know I've heard previous stuff that it started off for a very like young age for you, and like you were kind of influenced about all these different things. I think like elementary school age or something, right?
Yes,
like growing up.
Yes, great question. At home, you know, I grew up with my father having a lot, you know, being politically educated, always encouraging me to, you know, identify with my national identity, being a Mexicano, being Mexican. You know, he always kind of just made me aware that, you know, those who look like me and people that share my last names that sound like ours, right? We are not very welcome here in this location, you know, the north of the colonial border. And so he always shared these ideas with me and to just challenge injustice. You know, I knew about Malcolm X from my father before I ever heard it in hip hop. You know, I knew about Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, just some of the names of that ring bells among our societies in Latin America and, you know, the third world or mm-hmm. not the third world, but, you know, lands that have been stripped from resources and looted by colonial powers. A lot of this information, I got it from my dad growing up. So I did have a little bit of a head start in a way compared to some of my other peers that had to go to either college, take an ethnic studies course, or be educated by some of the peers in the neighborhoods and the calles who kind of shared this information of revolutionary thought and decolonial mindset, sort of say.
Yeah. No, that's a great point because I, in contrast, I had completely different. Like, I wasn't even aware of a bunch of this stuff up until, like you just mentioned, like I went to college. So when I started taking classes that actually had me reflect on my identity and culture, that I was actually like, what the fuck? Like, this whole time I've been indoctrinated without really knowing,
right?
You know, and it's something that I can't really blame my parents either because they were at the same time trying to assimilate into a country that, like you mentioned earlier, didn't want them here in the first place.
Survival, right? No, absolutely. You know, and it's not in the fault of your parents, our parents, many of our parents. You know, our parents have migrated to these lands, which they've been on before. Mm-hmm. I like to remind people that we are not immigrants. You know, we're migrants on our own continent. We've been here for thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Whether you are a person of mixed indigenous background or full indigenous background, we've been here. We're from here. You know, we're not tourists. We've been here for a very long time. And I like to, you know, in regards to you taking these classes in college or in higher education, none of this was given to us. We had to fight for it. So shout out to those professors, the activists, the organizers, the revolutionaries. They had to probably get kicked out of school, get kicked out of UCLA, lose a lot of their hard efforts that they worked so hard for to get there in order for us to have these spaces. You know, you go to UCLA, you'll have a Chicano center, you'll have a Mexicano, a Raza, Latino center. You know, you go to these spaces in Cal Poly Pomona, you know, there will be an indigenous center. There will be a center where the Muslim homies can kick it, where the Polynesians can kick it. Our people have had to fight for these spaces, you know, and it's not to segregate ourselves. It's because we were, you know, we need, you know, locations where we can build and share our culture and be ourselves in a sea of whiteness, sort of say, especially in higher education where there isn't many of us. So shout out to those people that paved the way in order for you to have those classes, man, because, you know, they did it, you know, a lot of love and sacrifice went into that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And that's why sometimes I have like this is just from my personal experience. What is it called? Like an imposter syndrome sometimes, referring to myself like just Chicano or something, right? Because I feel like I haven't done any of the work. Like I'm just here to reap the benefits off of it. And I feel like sometimes we don't do anything that helps progress that, you know? So I feel like, again, like an imposter in the sense, like, dude, I don't feel right or like I've earned that name, you know?
I hear you. So it's a, you'll get different responses from different people with, let's say the word Chicano.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political identity.
Yeah.
I use Chicano, I use Mexicano, I use Mexican, I use indigenous, I use brown, raza. I use many. A lot of these are intersectional for me. A lot of these, it's complex, you know, but I, you know, whether, you know, me calling myself brown, you know, I could just be a brown guy watching football every Sunday, eating wings and chilling. I'm still a brown guy. You know, I didn't have to do any work for it. I could be just indigenous, chilling, playing PlayStation all day. I'm still indigenous versus my comrade down the street who, man, he's out there fighting for the, he's in the struggle, you know, challenging the institutions of injustice, and he's indigenous. So I'm just as indigenous as that person. However, they're, yeah, you know, definitely we want to be able to support and, you know, our existence in a way is resistance, you know, our existence, you know, us just being here, surviving is resistance. And, you know, posting, you know, doing the things that we've been forbidden to do. For example, it could be cultural expression, you know, even wearing a necklace that has some jade on it, wearing, you know, some of us go back to our, you know, tatting ourselves up in certain ways in the face, in the head, or piercings. This is resistance to a society that sees that as, you know, quote unquote savage or, you know, unattractive, growing our hair long, you know, some of us do that. So it's different ways that people, you know, challenge, try to come back to who they truly are. And, or you could just, you know, you could have a gentleman's haircut and do your thing. It's you know who you are, you know, just learning your history and definitely want to educate yourself and empower yourself. I would say that goes for myself too. I'm speaking out loud to myself because I'm always learning as well.
Yeah.
You know?
And what does that look like to you? Like just like researching stuff online or like reading books or?
Yeah. So I would say great question because you can always get information. So for example, I just came back from Michoacán, Mexico, right? This is the ancestral homeland of the Purépecha people. I have Purépecha ancestry. although it's distant, it's been colonized out of my life, out of my lineage for a very, very long time through just different cycles of colonization. We went from being Purépechas to being indigenous in the city, to being Mexicanos en un rancho, to being immigrants in California, to me being a Chicano in the Inland Empire, right? These are the cycles of assimilation, colonization, and displacement that happened to us. But to go back to your question, I went to Michoacán recently. I went to an archaeological site called Sinsunsan, which means the place of the hummingbirds. This is the capital of the Purépecha empire in the 1300s, right? This is when the Mexica, the Azteca had their empire, right? And, you know, they were mortal enemies, the Purépecha and the Mexica. So the Aztecs were mortal enemies of the indigenous people of Michoacán. Not all of Michoacán was Purépecha territory. There was other nations like the Otomis, there was the Mazahuas, there was people who spoke Nahua as a language, which is the language that the Mexica also spoke. But for the most part, it was Purépecha people. So the Purépechas would fight against the Aztecs a lot. The Mexicas, right? Better, you know, the Aztecs, better known as the true name is the Mexica. The Azteca is the name that, you know, a lot of us know them by. So when I was in this archaeological site, I discovered information that I had not yet discovered, because I was only reading books out here and I was only doing research, PDFs, archaeological, you know, peer-reviewed articles and journals and stuff, which is great information. It's very academic. However, when I'm there, I'm getting information from the people that live there, that live by those pyramids. They know stories I don't know, and they share them. And these are stories that will probably never be online. They will never hit a PDF. Right. So you get this game and this knowledge and this wisdom and understanding. You take it with you. But yeah, it could look like different things, man. YouTube, you know, being out there, building with the community in in person. This will also be helpful in your journey of relearning and unlearning, you know, relearning about your heritage, exactly. You know, saying, oh, okay, this is a part of Guatemala or Mexico, El Salvador, my parents are from. Okay, let me rediscover. Let me look at some pre-colonial maps. Who were the indigenous communities there? Oh, wow, these people. Wow, well, what was my great-great-great-grandfather doing at this time? Oh, he was a farmer. Oh, wow, okay. Most of the people that were farmers during this time period are indigenous people or mestizos, which are mixed-blooded indigenous people. So you get this idea, oh, wow, like, I do have Native American heritage, right? I do have indigenous heritage from Mesoamerica. So this is I call it rediscovery.
Rediscovery.
Yeah, right. Rediscovering yourself, getting rid of, we have cultural amnesia. You know, we're psychologically homeless on our ancestral continent. We've been here for thousands of years, but we've allowed foreigners to label us as foreigners in a location where the foreigners are the colonizers and they're the tourists here, right? We're not the tourists. We've been here. They just arrived. They're the guests. In a way, they're not guests because they just kicked down the door and, you know, made it theirs, right? They didn't assimilate into our ways. It would be different if all these European Americans, these white people around here were speaking Navajo, were speaking Tongva, were speaking Nahua. It'd be different, right? It'd be like, wow, they came over here and they assimilated. They began to speak our languages. They began to take care of the land with our people. So things like that, right? So colonization is not permanent. It's reversible.
No, that's beautiful because, I mean, and it takes a lot of work. I'm like barely at the tip of the iceberg with trying to figure out exactly, at least from my end, you know, who
absolutely.
Where do my people come from? Where do my family come from?
Powerful.
So this is a step that I've been trying to kind of break down, walls that I've been trying to break down. And, you know, you kind of learn some hard truths. You know, you get into these positions where your fucking perspectives are opened up and you're like, holy shit, like, how did I not know this, you know? And you start realizing that then there's walls that are actually put there on purpose to, like you said, trying to give you this amnesia where you don't remember. Maybe you don't even want to go into that rabbit hole, you know?
Yes.
And then that's what, there's this phrase that you hear often, ni de aquí, ni de allá.
Right.
And that sometimes people refer to that because they're born here, like, or wherever your situation may be.
Yeah.
But you feel like you don't belong in either country because your identities are kind of clashing.
Yes.
But like, when you think about it, because we are on those lands that used to belong to our indigenous ancestors.
Yes.
You technically shouldn't feel that way, you know? But like you mentioned, like, these things are put into place so they make you question yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, just know, I would say know your home. Know, you're in North America. You were in North America, you know, many, many grandparents ago. You know, maybe you were up here trading jade for some sage or trading some obsidian for some Copal or for some, you know, any other medicines. We've shared medicines, we've shared dances, we've shared prayers, we've shared songs, and you know, we have ancestors buried up here from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, right? These are graveyards where people that look like me and you that were from probably what is today Mexico or Guatemala or Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, buried up here. But you know, again, we're migratory people. We follow the corn, we follow the deer. And, you know, so a lot of our societies were nomadic. You know, we had many societies that were very urban, humongous cities, right? Just like we see out here. But again, we are migratory people. We've been up here before. Again, a lot of our ancestors are buried up here.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we definitely need to find a way to do a better job at trying to get this information out to the youth at an earlier age, you know? Like, for example, like you mentioned, you were kind of influenced by this such an early age that it helped impact the way that you kind of perceived everything around you and took it upon yourself to kind of keep learning and at the same time trying to educate or give the information that you mentioned that you've gained to others without having any walls holding them back, you know?
Right.
And I feel like, again, with the whole school system, it's unfortunate that you don't learn this about, especially at least here in, let's just make it small, LAUSD or, you know, the counties right here for San Bernardino or Inland Empire.
Yes.
Like, there should be some sort of curriculum knowing that the majority of the people here are of, you know, whatever, brown descent or, you know, people of color, that they should be able to at least apply that to an extent and help educate, you know, so, you know, just to feel more connected to where you're coming from.
Absolutely, man. And you know what, there has been a big push for ethnic studies in high school. So there are many schools, there are some schools out here that do have ethnic studies as a requirement now in order for you to graduate. And in Arizona, they banned books. They did some straight up Nazi shit. They banned books that spoke about our culture and empowered our youth, especially like the Chicano, Mexicano, you know, pride, power books. Those got banned in Arizona, you know? So people fought hard. People still fight hard to try to get this kind of education in our, you know, that way our kids can get it, like you're saying, from kinder and up. Like, you know, why wait till you're in college? Why wait till you're a freshman in college? You're already like, by that point, we might have lost you to the right wing already. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you might be a white nationalist at this point with a brown face. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. Education is a tool for freedom. Education is a tool for empowerment. And this is why nations that have decolonized, that have kicked colonizers out of their, those lands like Cuba, you know, education, everybody in Cuba can read. You know, and Cuba's a communist country. We can't say the same thing about Mexico that's capitalist, Guatemala that's capitalist. You know, not everybody can read because, again, what is the leadership and the systems, you know, value in these nations that have decolonized, that have kicked the colonizers? They value education. They value taking care of the land. They value workers having rights. They value everyone having the right to a shelter, clothing, food. You know, these things are not privatized. You know, you're not gonna go to Cuba and see people asleep outside of a building. You will see that here, though, in the most developed quote unquote country on the world, people sleeping outside of a warehouse that has a shitload of beds in it. You know what I'm saying? Those beds are for sale, though. You can't get on that. I'm sorry. You can't go in that building because you are poor, and the system has allowed you to, or the system doesn't care here because it's a for-profit system.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I've been having one of the, so another thing that I've been kind of learning how to battle around is, so I have a son, he's 10, you know, and his Spanish is not the greatest, you know? Okay. But again, because I've been trying to find like the identity of myself, reconnect again, I've started to really grasp the importance of having him learn this.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, make the connection, because if he doesn't now, it's just lost, at least from my air quote lineage, right?
Yes.
And that's like, I don't feel right about that anymore, you know?
Yeah, you shouldn't feel right. I hear you. I'm with you on that. I have, you know, like I see people who's like me and you. You speak Spanish fluently, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I speak Spanish fluently.
It's choppy,
Yeah, I could read it, write it, speak it. And, you know, I wouldn't want my child to not be able to speak to their grandmother, you know? I wouldn't want my child to, like, not be able to speak to the gente that just came from the border, straight from the motherland, right? I want my child to be able to communicate with their peers that are straight from Nicaragua, Honduras, Costa Rica, Mexico, et cetera, right? I want them to be able to still have that connection. You know, I've traveled to Ecuador, I've traveled to Peru, I've gone to some places in Mexico. And, you know, even me being in South America, the people there see me, they're like, you're us, because we have a similar tongue. We speak we speak the same language. We just speak it slightly different, but it allows me to build. It allows me to open up my experiences. When I was in Ecuador, I mean, I spoke to a man that lived through a military dictatorship in Ecuador. And, you know, he was an activist and he was a freedom fighter in the university. They used to do protests. He remembers when the military would, like, you know, beat the shit out of him and his peers because, you know, they were fucking flying a flag that had Che Guevara on it. They were flying a flag that, you know, represented, you know, the socialist and communist struggles of Latin America, you know. And so, again, the right wingers in that country were running a military dictatorship. And I wouldn't have gotten this firsthand experience from an oral story. Mm-hmm. About, we were in a taxi all day, you know, again. So I was able to build because of this tongue that I have that my parents passed on to me. I got to pass it on to my kids. Mandatory. We, you know, my kid gets YouTube. Me and my lady were setting the YouTube settings to Spanish only, cartoons, Netflix, Spanish only. You'll learn English at school the way I did. It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, because I remember the trippiest part when I was like in elementary was that they passed this law that, yeah, I guess you can speak Spanish in schools for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, it didn't affect me because I learned Spanish and I knew English, but there was kids that I knew, friends that I knew that didn't. And you saw how, you know, they were held back. There were like all these repercussions to just not being able to speak your language, you know?
Right.
It's like, what the fuck?
And those are attacks. I mean, there's no other way to put them, but they're racial. They're racist because, you know, although it's a language we're speaking about, but who are the majority of people in this country that speak this language? It's brown people, people of indigenous origin, mixed indigenous origin, et cetera. So it's a direct attack on us. Just like the attack on street vendors right now in the city of Fontana, Mayor Aquanetta Warren is attacking street vendors. You attack street vendors, many of them are food vendors. You're attacking our food because that's what we like to eat. Yeah. You're attacking our culture, traditions, our heritage on a plate. You attack that. That means you're attacking our people. It's racial. It's ethnic. It's violence. And it's, you know, it's white supremacy. She just, I mean, shit. She's a black face for white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Brother Malcolm is definitely turning in his grave because she dishonors men like him, men like, Nelson Mandela, a lot of our Africano black comrades that have sacrificed so much for people of color everywhere, only for her to turn her back, you know, and side with the dominant white society.
Man, I know every time I see cases like that, I just wonder, if I don't know, because sometimes you can know the information, but you still choose to just sell out, you know?
It's very important to note that, like, you know, going back to the topic we talked about, if she would have took ethnic studies, it's very likely she wouldn't do no shit like this, you know, because ethnic studies will prevent this, right? Taking a class that empowers you on some black power shit, on some brown power shit. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but when you learn in these classes, you learn about intersectionality. You build power together, right? You learn about, oh, okay, man, you know, I'm a Chicano, I'm a Mexicano, but damn, the Irish man in Ireland, he's been living under the colonial boot of the British English men. Wow, I have something in common with them. Mm. You end up finding out that you've probably fought battles together, you know what I'm saying? So, taking ethnic studies, empowering, having a decolonial curriculum, it would prevent people ending up like that, you know, where they sell out to the white nationalists, to the white supremacy, to the right wingers. There's no way it would happen if she would have took a fucking ethnic studies course and really, you know, function with it and like moved on with it.
Yeah, I mean, those are facts, man, because again, you don't understand you're in it until you have like a taste of your, I don't want to say freedom, you know, but it's like same thing. And like with me, it was super basic. Like I didn't care about any of this until my fucking 30s, dude, like being honest. Like I was good. Like, whatever, I'm a brown guy. Maybe I want to fit in with the white people, you know? Mm-hmm. And I made it a thing to kind of like deassociate myself from it up until a moment where I was like, dude, I don't even know who I am. Like I had moments with my parents a couple of years ago that it made me very like question my identity very hard. And that is when it started like this path to like, who am I? Like now I feel like I move with some sort of purpose, you know?
Yeah, it gives you purpose. And you know what? Don't trip because there's not a written manual on how to recover from this lost heritage, lost information, lost knowledge. It's there, you know, that was the intention of the colonizer. The colonizer's intention was for you to assimilate, you know, become assimilated into the colonial society that he and she set forth, because there have been a lot of women colonizers as well from, you know, Europe. And again, it wasn't the colonizer's intention for you to come back to that fire, come back to sit around that fire, to come back to that heritage. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what, man, like, maybe I'm not meant to just be this quote unquote American guy in California. You know, it's something deeper about me. You know, I you feel it in you. It's your intuition. You could say energy, you could say spirit, whatever word you choose to say. You know, it could be, you know, a life force within you that's telling you, hey, I really have a purpose. It's time to tap in, and it's time to relearn and unlearn, because there's going to be some shit you got to unlearn, you know, and learn. Same for me, right?
No, that's cool. I mean, even yourself, you're still in the process of continuing continuing
always
education, you know?
Man, I'm there's so many times where I sit with people, and I told my lady the other day, I said, man, I was chilling with the homegirl the other day, or the homie, and they dropped so much knowledge. All I could do is like just be silent and listen, because it's just mm-hmm. so much wisdom and game they're giving about cultura, about heritage, empowerment, about decolonial struggle and education. You know, there is nothing I can share, really, at least the way I felt. There's nothing I can share that would like, you know, I'd rather just listen. It's my time for me to be a student, you know, instead of me just speaking. It's important. You know, even the brother Mao from China said, he said, you know, be silent, listen. You know what I'm saying? It's a simple quote, but, you know, just peep game, you know, listen to these jewels.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Like, when you get presented with another person, right, that you're just trying to convey this message to, like, what is your approach? Because I know sometimes it's like, this is just maybe a bad example, but it's like when somebody's trying to push an idea on you, you're more resistant to try to accept it, because you're like, I don't want it. It's like when the fucking Jehovah Witnesses come and knock.
Yeah,
and like,
I hear you.
You know,
no story, I'm not here. I hear you, man.
like, what's your message to try to get something across like this to somebody?
I'm tolerant, bro. I'm tolerant. I try to practice tolerance. I try to, you know, I understand that our people, we shouldn't be disposable. We shouldn't just be fucking trash that gets thrown away. If you know, if the homie doesn't get it yet, he will. Yeah. You know, if the Africano, the black community would have just thrown away Brother Malcolm X when he was a gambler, a hustler, a drug dealer, a goon in the streets, you know, if they would have just canceled him and been like, oh, this was good for nothing. Nah, the homie changed, and he got educated in prison, and he decolonized, right? Yeah. He came back to his cultural understanding of who he was, and, you know, he became, you know, some of us might say he was like a black messiah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He came back not to save the people, but to, you know, be a leader and just another a really strong voice in the movement of, you know, decolonization, man. So like, for me, it's being tolerant, knowing that, hey, right now this homie right here, he might be, you know, he might be a little off, he might be resistant, but this is a future Che Guevara right here. This is a future, you know what I'm saying, Emiliano Zapata. This could be a potential crazy horse, a caballo loco, or a sitting bull, toro sentado, right?
Yeah.
So it's potential. So you got to see the potential in people, see the good in them. If you give education to people in a kind way, in a tolerant way, in a way where you show love, and they're still resistant, and they might even try to counter your shit, then, you know, they've chosen a side. They've actively chosen a side, and... Yeah. And that's a message I take. So it's like, all right, cool. You're on the other side. And I hate to separate us like this, but I have a goal, man. I'm not, to me, this shit, I don't remain neutral on shit. I choose a side. I'm never one to be like, have a side. I take my stance, you know. It's like, nah, I'm on this side, and you're on the other side. So it's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, because sometimes, I mean, depends on who you're telling, but silence can just make you complicit too.
Absolutely,
things, you know,
right? You know, shit. You know, ask our Jewish loved ones when the Holocaust was happening, right? I don't think they would want to hear someone say, "Oh, you know, I'm neutral. I don't know, man. Like, it's complicated, right? Oh, I don't know. You know, well, both sides are nope. Hell no. Nah. I'm with the Jewish people. You know, I'm with my Jewish comrades, and we're gonna smash on Nazi Germany, and I'm gonna do whatever I can during that time period. You know, to be in solidarity, man. People be like, damn, I wish I was living during that time period.
I would have shown these Nazis.
Right. But you know, a Holocaust happens right now and they're silent, you know? And it's, they don't say shit. They, it's complicated, or I'm neutral. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, your silence, your compliance, your neutrality only helps the oppressor, only helps the person committing genocide. You know, that's what that does. So it's important that you know, and I am tolerant, though. I am tolerant, but you know, I'm also imperfect, so it's shit. I mean, if they catch me on a bad day, I might just be like, nah, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just depends on me, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's tough, because I mean, just briefly touching base, it's, for me to say briefly is kind of like unfair to what's going on right now in Palestine. So
yeah,
I didn't mean to say briefly like that.
No, you're good.
It's definitely difficult, because when you start thinking about it, like the fact that you need to have all these things explained to you just so you can feel connection to the oppressed is like, what? Like, you should, just the fact that it's a human suffering, right?
Absolutely.
Like, being oppressed by another human, that should be enough for you to be like, what the fuck? That's wrong. I'm like, no.
Right.
You know? But for you to start saying like, oh, but what did they do? What did they do wrong?
Right.
It's like, no, bro, he still did the action. Like, the action is being done. Like, how do you navigate through that? And that's how I feel sometimes. Like, we're just adults and little kids fucking action sometimes, the way we act with things, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? Living in the belly of the beast, we live in the belly of, you know, world terrorism, homie. Like, there isn't a nation on this, on, you know, besides maybe the UK, England, you know, but we live in the heart or the core of Western imperialism. You know, this is the location, homie. Mm-hmm. That White House, you know, Washington, D.C., that's the headquarters, bro. That's the headquarters of this shit. That's the headquarters of world terrorism. And being that we live here, and being that we're so miseducated, being that education is not something that is funded in this country, you know, it should be a crime against humanity that any kid in this neighborhood, in this district, in Los Angeles, in the IE, OC, anywhere, that they read 2 grade levels below. Wait, why? How is this happening? We're the first. This is the first world. We've stolen everyone's fucking resources. Why is this happening here? Why do we have Latinos, Raza, African-Americans performing at such low levels in education? But this isn't a crisis. You know, this country doesn't value education. And if we don't value education, you know, you don't value reading, you don't value writing, you don't value STEM, you're not going to have, you don't value history. The history that is taught here is obviously it's colonial, it's white supremacist. And, you know, you got to have it's important to have historical context to the genocide that the Israeli Zionist regime is inflicting on Palestine, because without historical context, you're just going to start the story in the middle. Mm-hmm. You're going to start the story October 7th. Why are we starting it in the middle, homie? 1948, you know, 75 years, that's 75 summers, 75 harsh winters of imprisonment, kidnappings, chemical warfare, false borders on the Palestinian people. This is imprisonment, theft of land, you know, stealing of land, sexual terrorism, human trafficking, organ trafficking, right? Because, so all these things, ethnocide, right? Linguicide, where they don't, you know, you get, if you're seen, you know, if you're Arab in this circumstance, man, you're the target of the Israeli regime. So again, I remind people, man, like where's the right wing when they save the children, man? That Sound of Freedom movie, right? Oh my God, the children. What about the Palestinian children? How many of y'all are so silent about that? What about the human trafficking that goes on in Palestine committed by the Israeli regime, where they take organs out of kids and shit like that? You know, no conspiracy theory. This is some real shit, man. It's been documented, you know, it's all there. But again, we're not gonna get that because we live in the headquarters that supports that regime, right?
Billions of dollars.
Right, billions, media, everything you can think of to make sure that they don't look like the terrorists that they are. The Israeli regime, that's the Israeli military, they're the terrorists, right? The people defending themselves are not the terrorists. They're the freedom fighters. And, you know, again, so it's a similar shit, man. You saw it in Iraq. You saw it in Afghanistan. They label people terrorists for fucking picking up an AK-47 and defending their home from troops that are there occupying their land that shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's without historical context, you're not gonna know anything about it. So we can't start the story in the middle. Homie has to, you know, it needs to. We need to go to the beginning of it. You know.
Yeah, and there's a deep education that needs to be done, just as much as we can on an individual level and community level, I think, because first and foremost, maybe the last 10 years, like, I've seen articles, read, listened to podcasts, or read, like, just some sort of information that describes the horrors that happened in Palestine via Israel.
Right.
And the moment you start talking about it, you're immediately anti-Semitic.
Right.
And it's like, what? Like, you can't even criticize what's being done. Like, kids being sniped from fucking miles away.
Absolutely.
The rapings that happen. Like, all this stuff, right? That we can go down a list of all these things that if we hear anybody else doing, we'll be like, dude, what the fuck?
Right.
And when you think about it that way, you're like, what the fuck? Like, why can't you voice it? And then you start thinking about it like, oh, okay, well, why? Oh, well, they, you know, this is where people... If people who are in this side of the playing field, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, Eddie's an anti-Semite. Because you start thinking about, okay, so I Googled the differences between legitimate, air quotes, legitimate criticism for Israel and potentially anti-Semitic statements. And when you start talking about stereotypes that talk about money, power, influence, you're automatically an anti-Semite.
We can criticize Israel. You know, we can fucking denounce. Like, people are like, hey, Do you condemn Hamas? I condemn Israel. Let me stop you right there. I condemn Israel, you know? So I can say that comfortably. Like, I'm, you know, that wouldn't make me anti-Semitic, right? The fact that Mr. LeBron James probably has his paycheck written to him by somebody with ties to Israel, it's very likely. You know what I'm saying? It's not anti-Semitic. That's why I really, really doubt, because he made a statement saying, oh my God, you know, he made a statement siding with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt that this dude is super invested in the education of knowing about what is the history of that land. I don't know. This is just a guess. Maybe he is, but if he really was, he would know what's up, right? He would know that it's Palestinian land. But again, you know, it's very likely that his paycheck is written to him, you know, by a person that is with some ties to Israel, right? And the Jewish faith does not represent Israel. The genocide that Israelis are committing against Palestinians, the Torah, it's not written in the Torah to do this, right? Which is their holy book. The holy book of the Jewish people is the Torah, and it doesn't say to do this, right? So they're using a faith, you know, something that's supposed to be holy for something so evil, you know, and they're 100% backed by the United States. I tell people all the time, I tell people at work, I say, hey, you know, Democrats and Republicans, that's one thing they will always agree on. The Democrats will always fake the, oh, well, we're going to do immigration reform. They will fake their love for the LGBTQ community. They will fake their love, right? They'll do shit like that. They'll fake their love for the working class. Whereas in the right, they're just fucking straight up, hey, like, go back to Mexico type shit, right? That they're just straight up with it. But I'll tell you one thing they always agree on is supporting Israel and arming them to the fucking teeth because, you know, they need to protect themselves. So again, it's very important that, you know, like, you know, I've only said it once. Yeah, you know, the Jewish faith does not represent, or the Israeli regime, Zionism does not represent the Jewish faith, right? Because you have a lot of rabbis, a lot of people with influence in the Jewish community that are anti-Israel. They're pro-Palestinian. They're like, Israel needs to be abolished. You know what I'm saying? Israel needs to cease to exist. It's not even allowed in our faith to have our own ethno state. You know, so again, it's important that our Jewish relatives, I'm speaking to my Jewish comrades, I'm speaking to my Jewish comrades, not my Israeli comrades. I don't have Israeli comrades. The word comrade is tied to liberation and decolonization. You can't be a comrade and be an Israeli. You know, you could be Jewish and be a comrade. So I'm speaking to my Jewish comrades that may be listening. You know, you need to speak up, right? Just like when a black rebellion was happening in the summer of 2020, white people, you need to speak up in solidarity with the Afrikaners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to speak up. You cannot be silent right now because it makes you uncomfortable. So we need our Jewish relatives to be very vocal in supporting the Palestinian cause. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's not the time. Now is not the time to be silent for anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, share it in your story. Share it once. Yeah. Share it twice. Share it 10 times. Whatever you want to do, post about it. Post a poster in your street. If you're a graph writer, go catch a spot on the freeway right now. Go write on a wall. If you're a painter, paint something. Free Palestine. Post it online. Keep that algorithm cracking. Flood it, because guess what? The algorithm. Yeah. I started using Google Translator on my posts on Instagram, putting English to Arabic captions. I started getting flagged for terrorism. All my fucking posts started getting flagged. I started getting I can't collaborate with people no more, because I was accumulating over 3 million interactions on my posts. According to my Instagram, I made 3 million interactions on some of my posts, and they got flagged. I can no longer collaborate. I can't go live on Instagram until February. So again, I'm being silenced because of my support for the Palestinian cause. And I don't post nothing terroristic, quote unquote. All I post is liberation for Palestine, free Palestine from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free, right? But again, who's in control of these social medias, right?
Yeah.
It's rough, but
yeah, man, it's rough. I mean, it's been October 7th, we're November. So it's been a month, almost a full solid two months of this happening. And I've tried, there's only so many things you can do as an individual across the fucking world.
Absolutely.
So the only things I've tried doing is kind of like sharing videos of what's going on in the ground. And it's a lot of horrific, gruesome videos that you would never expected to kind of see 2023 social media streaming on your feed every day.
Right.
But I felt like, I don't know, like at least some responsibility to share this for other people to see, to know that this is happening right now.
Absolutely.
Instead of just us like pretending we're just in this room chilling and having a good time.
Right.
You know, like they know that there's somebody out there really fucking suffering.
Yes. And
somebody reached out to me and said like, hey, you should probably stop posting these things. And I was like, no, and I'm not going to stop because they're still in it.
Right.
You know, I'm just getting like the fucking screen. I'm just getting the emotion through this screen. I'm getting a little chills right now too, man. I'm getting a little sad, but.
Of course.
It hurts, dude.
It hurts.
It hurts. And it makes you, after a while, you feel like you're going to get tired of sharing this shit.
And you know what's more salt added on the wound is that, you know, a piece, a tiny piece or a large piece of all of our paychecks goes to put a gun on the holster of an Israeli soldier. Now, if I lived in, I don't know, Tonga, Samoa, in Mexico, guess what? A piece of my paycheck is not going to Israel, right? But the United States funds the Israeli military. All those missiles, all those fucking guns, they're manufactured here. They're made here, and we put them in the hands of terrorists known as the IOF, right? The Israeli military. They are the ones who are shooting people, killing people, you know, people giving birth in fucking destroyed buildings. People, they've destroyed hospitals, countless hospitals. They destroyed one of the oldest churches in the world, bro. So like, to me, seeing Christians support Israel is insane, homie. How are you gonna, they just destroyed your holy building, one of the oldest holy buildings on the planet. I'm not Christian, you know, and I've been very vocal about Christian colonization in my music in the past, like, and I still am, you know, because of our experiences as indigenous people on Turtle Island, in Turtle Island, Abya-Yala, with Christianity, you know? I've been very vocal about that. However, like, I'm not for, like, fucking the Israelis destroying the oldest Christian church on the planet, because ultimately I know that the people that were colonizing my people, they weren't true Christians. They were just using that book for their own, you know, personal gain to cause terror and to attempt to justify lies about us that we were wild savages in the Mesoamerican jungles, etc. But again, you know, it's a little more salt on the wound knowing that we contributed to that. Our stolen labor here, our, you know, the wage theft that goes on in this country against the working class, right? We are the proletariats, we're the fucking working class. You know how we would have hurt the fucking Israeli military? Everyone walking out of work, homie. There's no stronger force than the working class, you know, in North America. We all walk out of this motherfucker. Bro, that shit is over for them, homie. It's over for the fucking for the White House, for this fucking war machine of the United States. It's over. We walk out of work. We run this shit. It's us. It's our labor, our stolen labor, stolen by corporations, stolen by the fucking Joe Bidens, the Elon yeah. Musks, the fucking Jeff Bezos. All them cats have stolen our labor, our wages. They've stolen body parts from our peoples. How many of our people, brown men, black men, do we know are limping because of a work injury, years of work, fucking surgeries because of that shit, and like, again, stolen wages, but we run this shit. We walk out, that's revolutionary, yeah. You know? We do them walkouts, those are major. It is a historical time right now. These are historic demonstrations. When they shut down the Bay Area Bridge, those comrades, they parked their cars, they knew it was gonna block it like a motherfucker. They threw the keys into the ocean of the cars. That way, when the tow truck got, they were never gonna be able to get those fucking cars out of there because there were so many cars like blocking the way. It's a bridge. Mm-hmm. So again, very strategic, direct action, you know, everything people do. People have been pouring red buckets of paint on the Zionist embassy in Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah.
As the symbolism, everything, homie, everything we do is important. I'm boycotting. You know, we will boycott Starbucks. We will boycott, you know, as much as we can. And now let it be known, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism, right? We'll get that very clear. There is no ethical consumption under capitalism. You know, we are all walking hypocrisies, right? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately everything is made through, the labor that is exploited and stolen from people. However, there is small ways to challenge this, to not support the regime. But again, I encourage people, man, share it in your story, share it in your whatever you would, you know, even if you share it at the dinner table, whatever the fuck you gonna do, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, tomorrow some fool's gonna fucking, they got like a pro-Israeli protest in, or like a gathering in Chino Hills. Man, we'll see y'all motherfuckers there, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm about to post that shit on my page and you know, it's a wrap. And ain't nobody gonna do nothing crazy, but you know, we will let it be known that we have our presence there, and the other side is gonna be there to make sure that they know that there's people here that love Palestine, yeah. That love humanity, you know what I'm saying, and that support the resistance. I get all the fucking updates to my phone, Telegram, straight from the Resistance Network. I encourage everyone to join the Resistance Network on there. You get all the information, get all the battles, you get all the updates. You know, Israel has attacked hospitals. It literally tells people you have 24 hours to evacuate, to leave this area of Palestine, and fucking shoots them as they're walking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turns off the water on them, turns off the electricity, cuts off the internet. What do they want to do in this darkness? Why are they hiding this, right? They're hiding war crimes. They've killed over 50 journalists. Right now, as we speak, 15,000 people and counting are dead from this. Half of them being children, right? Again, Gaza is half of Gaza is children, right? It's kids. So again, you know, but the resistance is strong, you know, and the resistance has encouraged people, especially those of us not living there, especially those of us in the outside parts of the world, not close to Gaza, not close to Palestine. They say, we need your support. How can you support? Keep condemning this shit. If you live in condemn the United States government, you know, condemn mm-hmm. their participation in this. We need your support, you know? So it's up to us, especially because we live here, homie, like, because we're involuntarily we're contributing to this, right? So the resistance says, do not get engaged in defeatism, you know? Yes, we are losing a lot of people, but we're also, best believe, the Israeli military is you know, there's a saying that they said, Zionism will meet its grave in Palestine. Zionism is gonna die in Palestine, right? The white supremacist colonial European ideology of Zionism is gonna meet its graveyard in Palestine. You know, it's gonna die there. It's not gonna live there. The resistance is strong. There's so many resistance groups. We only know of that one that they keep naming and they call terrorists. But again, we celebrate their victories. Mm-hmm. We celebrate their victories against Israeli Zionist military. And again, there were so many lies. There were 40 beheaded babies. Even Joe Biden said it, right? you know how much Islamophobia that caused, bro? How much Islamophobia you put out into, he put out into the world by saying that shit. People, because of 9/11 and the propaganda made by the United States government, people already see the Arab world, the Arab countries, our Muslim relatives, they see them as quote unquote barbaric or uncivilized. Mm-hmm. This is already a faith that's disrespected enough and is seen as evil. And this didn't help, you know, and for him to say those lies and get away with it, man, that shit, that it should be a crime. You know, he should be in prison for that shit. So many people got killed because of that. Again, hospitals destroyed, ambulances, fucking journalists. You're not allowed to kill journalists in war. It violates international law, right? Again, yes, so many journalists have been killed. Doctors have been killed, right? Doctors were using their cell phones to do surgery on kids. Mm-hmm. There is no anesthesia because they blocked the humanitarian aid. Again, this is genocide, homie. You are not. Also, the Palestinians don't have a military, right? Of course, they got the resistance fighters, 40,000 plus really, really strong fighters in them Gaza tunnels, you know, and again, shout out to the only nation that has been providing those men with weapons, you know, Iran. You know, people can say whatever the fuck about Iran here, you know, but again, if anyone dares criticizing Iran here in the United States, you might as well go get a paycheck from the fucking the CIA, homie. Yeah. You know, you're
doing your job for them.
Repeating CIA talking points, repeating US State Department talking points and Washington DC talking points, go put an application in. You know, you're not gonna hear that shit from me. You're not gonna hear me disrespect the people of popular Korea, Korea del Norte, right? North Korea. Not gonna hear me disrespect Iran and I'm gonna criticize. You know, I live in the Western Imperial Court, the place that sanctions those people. This country sanctions and blockades those countries, right? If Washington, D.C. has a talking point, I'm not ever going to repeat that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. It's funny because there's this meme, like there's a two-angle meme, and it's one is like you're getting wet, and then the other side is like somebody's pissing over the wall.
Right.
And it's like that's kind of like the metaphor to how we live things, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You're good, brother.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically. So you look at it that way. You're like, bro, if you knew the things that have been done, if you've been taking the time to educate yourself, you wouldn't feel that way. You will feel angry. You will feel like you need to do something. You know,
right?
Like, whenever you see injustice, you're gonna feel a type of way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing I hope people take out of this too. Like, there's different ways to do. I know you mentioned earlier that you don't refer yourself as an activist, but. Right. There's ways for people to do activism without having to, you know, always have to go out in the picket line, you know, like you could do things through the social media, sharing a post, like sharing something that's going to make an impression on somebody and say, oh, shit, let me see what this is about.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's how you ultimately find a way to throw this information out again.
Yeah. And you know what? For me, homie, I'm here to challenge, you know, I'm here to challenge the U.S. imperialist narrative. You know, that is one of my goals. That's just one of my responsibilities. I live and breathe this shit every day. I am here to support, I think, global. You know, it goes beyond what my skin color is. I got comrades in Ireland. I got comrades in Eastern Europe, Russos, you know, everywhere, homie. Like, to me, it's a intercontinental, it's a global struggle for freedom from occupation, you know, from colonization. So, you know, Africanos, everyone, homie, my black comrades, my Polynesian comrades, my Muslim relatives, you know, everybody, the working class here. So every day I'm always, you know, I'm here to challenge, Washington, D.C. is criticizing fucking Iran. Right? Okay, well, interesting. Dude, what do they want from Iran right now? What are they... are they seeking to do regime change to bring them democracy, to bring them freedom? Oh, okay. All right. How about this? Iran is one of the countries that has never recognized Israel, right? Ever, ever, ever. It's never recognized them as a state. It's also one of the first, it's also a country that put Brother Malcolm X on the postage stamp in their country. He was on the postage stamp. You go get a estampilla for the fucking correo, for the mail. You see Brother Malcolm X there in a traditional Muslim, you know, in the Middle Eastern Arab garment. You know, and again, Malcolm X was seen as a voice of terrorism here in the United States. He was not loved, you know, just like, Even Brother Martin Luther King wasn't loved here, homie. They gave him a day. They name one street in every city after him. They name a school after him. But they didn't give a fuck about him when he was alive. He was a felon. He was someone that was unwanted. You know, he was being monitored and surveillanced by the FBI. Mm-hmm. Again, all these men, you know, a man like that that they claim to love, you know, all these white people use him now. Oh, why can't you be like Martin? Why are you guys destroying buildings and fucking rioting? Be like Martin. You guys killed Martin. What the fuck are you talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So, again, fucking colonizer U.S. media, Western imperialists, talking shit about Iran. You know, they're trying to do regime change over there. They're desperate to, you know, get rid of Iran because Iran won't ever recognize Israel. Iran is not dominated by banks the way, you know, the fucking banks that run the U.S., right? They say, no, we ain't doing that. And again, so it's up to, and then you know what, homie, like the Palestinos, you know, the allegedly them firearms, you know, they all the weaponry, a lot of the weaponry, they get it from Iran. Mm-hmm. And Iran is one of the nations that has been tangibly supporting the Palestinians' armed struggle. Cause guess what? They would still be throwing fucking stones if it wasn't for them straps that they get from Iran. So shout out to Iran for that, because guess what? You wouldn't have this anti-colonial rebellion right now, because although it is a genocide, yes, it's a genocide, because the Israelis, they're allegedly after the resistance group Hamas, but they've killed mostly innocent people, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in, you know, the resistance fighters, the Al-Qassam brigades, they have most of the bodies they've caught is uniformed men, uniformed soldiers, which that is the honorable way to go about shit if you're in a war, right? That is, you know, you're going after the uniformed men, not the Israeli Zionists. They are not. They're again, you know, we've said it over and over. They're hitting children. They're hitting mothers, elders, etc. There's disabled people. Come on now. So again, those straps that the Al-Qassam brigades got, you know, Iran hooked them up with them, allegedly, right? It's very likely, you know, and again, you know, people can say whatever the fuck about whatever they want about Iran. But, you know, the Palestinians have been are. They needed that tangible support. It can't just be, oh, you know, fucking free. You know, I could say free Palestine here, and that's powerful, and it's love. But some tangible support, so that's, you know, putting some metal in their hands, you know, putting some firearms, shit like that. So that's giving you a tool for liberation, right? A book could be useful, absolutely. Education, yeah, but that's another. But a tool or a book and an AK-47. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit. You know what I'm saying? That's a dangerous combination, you know?
Hell yeah, I like how you put that.
Right, right. So, and you know what? And yeah, and they have their faith, and they have their faith, and they call this the Al-Aqsa flood, and this is what the name of this battle is called. This is what the warriors that are defending Palestine, that's what they call the Al-Aqsa flood. So you get these messages on Telegram, it's going to say the Al-Aqsa flood, you know what I'm saying? And again, Israel is colonizing the Palestinians for 75 summers, 75 winters, 75 falls, 75 springs. Again, it's land theft, it's genocide, it's chemical warfare, it's family separation, it's borders. Palestinians were made to look illegal on their own land, just like us, right? Made to look like foreigners, somewhere they've been on for a very, very long time, right?
Dude, Jack, thank you so much for the information, for taking the time to educate and just bring this information forward too, you know. And
like, appreciate you.
A lot of us still need to get through these bumps in the road as we find our identity as
well.
So
me as well. We're all working together, and you know what? It's important that we have podcasts like the one you're doing. So you're doing great work. I'll tell you that. You know, this is,
thank you.
It's outstanding work, man. And you know, bringing different voices on here to share different perspectives is great. And when I say different perspectives, not a pro genocide one, but you know, just like of different shit. Yeah. Like for example, I'm a pro liberation perspective is important, you know, to bring on here, and all the others, you know, music, art, whatever the other types of guests that you have on here, but never like the ops, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The opposition and shit.
No, well, again, thank you for everything, man. For people to find your music and any more information on your work, where can they find that?
YouTube, Jaguar.Arriola, YouTube, or YouTube, Jaguar Arriola, A-R-R-E-O-L-A, and spell like that, Jaguar Arriola. I'm on YouTube right there, and Spotify, Apple Music, that's where my music is at, and that's that.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you so
much. Appreciate you for having me. Yes.
We'll see you around, man. Keep up the fight.
Likewise.
The music,
likewise.
Too, because we didn't even talk about your music, but keep the shit.
All good,
homie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, peace out, everybody. Brother.
Vision is out here. What I bring to the team, structure, discipline, no sipping on lean. I'm cultured, militant, scouring the contrarios como el logo de los Raiders. I'm in braids, I'm embraced, and el Inland Empire. Sobriety is sacred, I'm never lonely. I'm pulling up loco with 20 Shoshones. I'm indigenous only, not mestizo, that's a European trophy. The churches on my block ain't holy. The reminders that they used to own me. I walk next to mi clan Tecutli. I don't get high, you can't confuse me. Don't speak about how wide, salute me or shoot me. I'm doing my duty, I Somali is armored fully. Pass me the ruby as I rebuild my altar. Only my DNA was altered, spirit wasn't conquered. Hawaii el general and I'ma hit you with the moss bird.
Hit you with the moss bird. Que viva la minga y el barro nacional. Mis raíces que salen de un árbol guayabal. Desde el río del Cauca hasta Facatativa. Mi colmillo armado y mi pieza activa. Con un cuerno de chivo, creen que soy el Satanás. Uno con la huevana, yarumo madre ancestral. En el río Bacatá, las palabras curan con viento medicinal. En la selva espiritual, soy el mango de la paz. En el nido del jaguar, pido más a mi altar. Sagrado como el agua, donde hay agua panela y currulao en la casa. Eso es para los pueblos, mis Piao y Nasa, con el jaguar, deja de la amenaza. Empezamos la cumbia, suelto de nuestra raza. Guarda, guardia y fuerza, fuerza. Masticando hoja coca, tragando la tristeza.
Hit you with the moss bird.